I don't know if you remember too much of your school years. Some of you don't have to remember back too far, like Friday, you know. But some of us have to remember back further than last Friday to remember what school was like. And I can remember navigating through school. I can remember having to switch schools in my sixth grade year, which was pretty traumatic at times, you know, to make that switch to a different school, to be the new kid, to be the new student, to not understand the flow of the school, to not understand the teachers, not know how to pronounce their name. My sixth grade teacher was Mr. Finelli. And I can remember I really didn't know how to pronounce his name, so it was very much of a challenge for me. But I can remember much of my school years, and I had a really a good experience for the most part as far as going to school. Grades weren't so good, but going to school or hunting, I did a lot of hunting, and I wasn't supposed to be. I was supposed to be in school, but I missed 40-some days of my senior year. But I got a degree in hunting that year, so... But just the things that I learned through school, and one of the things that used to come on my report card all the time, he does not work up to potential. He does not work up to potential. Inside the classroom, that was might have been true, but I often think, I don't know if I worked up to potential. And the things that I learned in school, and sometimes I wish I knew more of those now. But I can remember my science teachers and different things we did in science, and just the sciences and understanding the sciences and how the study of what goes on in the physical science or the earth is very intriguing at times. And I revisit some of that stuff, and I'm sure I was taught that. But in fifth or sixth or seventh grade science, I can remember seeing this chart for the first time in my life. It's the periodic table. Push the button, please. The periodic table is the chart that I first saw. I first saw this chart, probably fifth, sixth, seventh grade. Maybe if you were advanced, maybe you're a fourth grader that saw this. Maybe if you weren't so much, maybe it's eighth or ninth or tenth grade. I don't know. But this chart to me is interesting. It labels all the elements, right, in their simplest forms, and they're all organized by the number of protons they have. So one through, I think there's 190 or something like that, yeah, on that chart. But what makes it interesting, this chart to me, is it's like a big pantry. It's just like everything that you need to make a whole lot of other things. You know, I was always interested in taking something, a bunch of something, and making something new out of it. I love to do that even in my shop, to take a bunch of pieces of something or metal or scraps of something and make something out of it. That's what this chart is in the science world. That's what it is. It's this huge pantry of stuff. And when you start mixing these things together, oh, wow, cool things happen. But this is the element chart. It's the periodic table. It lists the elements and arranges them by how many protons they have. Elements are chemically the simplest substance and hence cannot be broken down. A compound, however, is what you get when you start combining elements and you start combining them and they make a whole new something. And so you can open up the door to hydrogen and take out two pieces of hydrogen. And you can open up the door to oxygen. And you can take out a piece of oxygen. And you can have those two things, they'll come together. And what do they produce? They produce water. Which is amazing to me that you can take two gases. And they give birth to water. This is amazing that you can take two different, completely, seemingly different things and produce this amazing product. A compound is a substance formed when two or more chemical elements are bound together. And I'm sure, listen, there are some of you that are way above me in this. I look at this as just cupboard doors and just all kinds of excitement. Just like open up the doors and all the cupboards when you're 3 years old and mom just like, there's just so much potential in all those cupboards. And I'm sure you can explain this way better than I can. I just see this as single elements combining together to make this new something. To make this new thing. Combining two or more elements make a new thing. Look at that.
And you get these little balls and they hook them together to symbolize what the next thing is that they're making. But this is my prophetic or my prophet word of the day. It says this: combining two or more elements makes a new thing. You know, I couldn't think of a smarter word. I went to the thesaurus. I went to all kinds. I want to say, I want something smarter than thing. I couldn't think of anything smarter than thing. But it produces, combining two or more elements makes a new thing. And I want to hang on to that just for a minute. Hang on to that statement just for a minute. And I want to just run end around just a little bit to last week to bring everything together. Last week we started on this journey. But remember that statement, that the combining of two elements makes a new thing. And so last week we started on this journey. We started on a journey. And I want to continue that journey today. I want to continue the journey. And we started on the journey about talking about regrets and how we our lives get ending, or our days or our hours get ending with regrets, and how regrets can be so a life sucking out of us. And we miss the opportunity. We feel sad or repentant or disappointed over something that has happened, or something that has happened or has been done in our lives. And we begin to regret those things. And regret is very heavy on our lives. And maybe not so much when you're 10 or 12 or 14 or 16 or 18. But by the time you get 54, you start thinking about those things and the things that you passed by and those things that you did not do and those things that were done and those things that you did do. And all of a sudden, what I'm feeling in my soul is regret. What I'm feeling, and I want to live a life without regrets. I want to come to the end of my day and the end of my week and the end of my month and the end of my year and the end of my life without a whole basket full of regrets. And so I'm talking to some of us that need to have freedom from those things. And I'm talking to some that you're right on the beginning of some of this. So grab on to some of this truth. That we can have this antidote or this regret relief. My desire is to end the day and the week and the month and the year and the life without regrets. This week we're going to open up this box. It says, praise his name. This week we turn these around in the pantry. Last week, we turned these around, and now we're going to be able to open them up so that we can see what's in there. Because I believe what we're going to talk about today, if we can grab a hold of this, it's going to have a drastic effect on the regrets of our life. Are you with me this morning? I got three head nods. Psalm 33:1 says this, and we started this last week. It says, sing for joy. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. It is fitting, and Tobin reminded us of that this morning, that it is fitting that we look good dressed in praise. But we need to know what praise is. If I'm going to praise his name, what is praise? If praise is going to help me defeat the regrets in my life and help me to live a life without regrets and without passing by, just so you know, it's passing by opportunities that God wants you to have, or getting into the messes that God didn't want you to be in the beginning. That's so important for us to remember. And God says, I want to drive you through this world. I want to navigate you on a path like you can't believe. No eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind can conceive what I have in store for those who love me. And this world is going to promise you a lot of crap. And they can't pay up. And they're going to dress it in a bow and they're going to dress it in a fine package. And I'm telling you, when I opened it in my life and when you open it, it's going to leave you wanting. And God says, I will never leave you wanting. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can conceive what I have in store for those who love me. I want you to walk on a path, and I don't want you to regret not walking on my path. It's because I've got a path set out for you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured everything so that you and I can walk on this path that God wants us to walk on. Am I making sense? I got to make sense. And I do not want to live a life. I do not want to live an hour. I do not want to live a week, a day, or a month, or a year. I do not want to live that off of the path that God has for me. And I don't think I have to. Because I don't think God has ever asked me to do something that he hasn't empowered me to do. And taking a step outside of where God would want me to walk, and I look back and I said, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And God says, well, I know that. How about today? How about today? Do you want to walk with me today? Because when you walk with me today, we'll deal with those regrets as well. And we'll help you stay out of the regret life. Because I don't want you to regret walking with me. As a matter of fact, you won't regret walking with me. Because I have designed praise to fit you. And you need to praise. Praise is going to keep you on the path. Praising his name is going to keep you on the path that you will not regret. And as we talked last week, when I regret something, somebody else has got wounded. Two or more elements is a compound, right? And it makes a new thing. I need to understand praise. If God's going to want me to live a life of praise or to praise his name, I've got to understand what praise is. And so praise to me is a compound. Praise to me is a compound. It has two or more elements that make it up. Praise is a compound. All this periodic table, the elements, pull it out, open the doors. He said, I'm going to make praise in your life. I'm going to give you the elements. They're in the cupboard, new lifers. They're in the cupboard. You just got to open up the cupboard. Get excited, because when you combine things in this, out of the cupboard that I put in your life, you're going to produce praise. And when that praise is real in your life, you're not going to regret walking with me in praising my name. Now, the world's going to tell you that's all jacked up. The world's going to tell you that's for weak people. Just so you know, we're all jacked up and we're all weak, so it's for all of us. And he said, will you open the cupboards? Will you open it up? Will you open the cupboards and start combining these elements and watch what it does in your life? Praise is a compound. Praise is two or more elements. The base element of praise is adoration. So open up the door of adoration. Open up the door. Get ready to pull out the big A. Ready to pull out the big adoration, because we're going to bring that over to the table and we're going to combine it with other things and we're going to see where that produces praise. And praise being produced in my life will keep me from living a life of regrets and wounding people around me. The base element of praise is adoration. Adoration is defined to worship or to honor. But it's deeper than that, I believe. I believe that definition is just the dictionary did it the best it could. I think the awed attitude of the created in the presence of the Creator, that's adoration. When I begin to have an awed attitude that I am in the very presence of God, all of a sudden that feeling that you're getting when your hair stands up on the back of your neck and you can feel it on your arms, that's adoration. You're beginning to have adoration. You just open up the door of adoration and it's starting to flow out into you, and you're starting to have a physical response to the very presence of God. I love it when God does that. And he gives me a very physical response to the very presence of God. It is the soul's realization of God's very presence. If you think this is strange, hang on. Because God wants to invite you into his very presence. Because he's going to mix his very presence and that feeling that you're getting, that what you're getting in the very presence of God, he's going to combine that with other things in your life, and bang, a whole new thing is going to be born. And it's called praise. And praise will keep you out of the life of regrets. We're going to talk about the other boxes coming up. The base element is adoration. Adoration is the awed attitude of the created in the presence of the Creator. It is the soul's realization of God's very presence, or His real palpable presence of God. God is omnipresent. Let me give you a little theology 101. God is omnipresent. God is equally everywhere all the time, in time and space. Can you imagine that? He's equally into tomorrow. Just ponder those thoughts for a minute if you want to drive yourself a little crazy. Okay, he's equally on this earth all over, but there's something about the very presence of God. And when you and I are in the very presence of God and we open up that door, it produces adoration. It is when His breathtaking greatness and holiness and loving kindness starts to filter into your soul. Without that, you're not going to be able to praise. And I'll make that statement very bold. I believe it's true in my life, and I believe it's true in the Scripture, and I believe it's true. Without adoration, there would be no praise in my life. And without praise, there'll be a life of regret. God says, I have designed you to know the very presence of me. I have designed you to know the very presence. I have designed you to take a hold of my holiness and my loving kindness and my greatness. And I want that to be combined with other things in your life. And bang, here comes praise. When adoration starts to bind with such things as thanksgiving, when that adoration starts to produce, and all of a sudden there's the thankful, that's because you open up the door and all of a sudden those two elements got together, and thanksgiving and adoration married together gives birth to praise. And when you're in that adoration and you couple it with rejoicing, that's praise. When you're in adoration and you couple it with giving, that's praise. Can you give and not praise? Yeah, you can give, because you didn't mix it with adoration. You can be thankful and not praise. If you want to praise, it has to be coupled with adoration. Sometimes it's coupled with confession. Sometimes it's coupled with singing. Can we sing and not praise? Absolutely. But when you mix it with adoration and singing, and all of a sudden this room lights up. Because now it's not just a bunch of people singing, it's people praising God. And when you mix it with petitioning and you mix it with intercession, it becomes a compound, and a new thing is born. I want to just flesh this out just for a little bit. All that was the opener to the message. Hang on, buckle up. Because I am committed to living my life with no more regrets. I don't know if God is going to give me another day, another week, another month, or another hour, or another year, or another decade. I don't know. But I plan on finishing my life without regrets from this week on. And the same thing that's going to help me live that life without regrets is going to help me heal from the old regrets that I have. There's not a new plan. Praising God will do both. Don't you love that when there's a BOGO with God? And you buy one, you get one free. And God says, you walk with me, and it will do something about the regrets that you have, and we'll do something about the regrets that are trying to stick to you now. Psalm 8 is this powerful moment, passage of Scripture, and it says this in verse 1. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Just so you know, I think in this box, I've written in this box, you know what's in this box? Oh, Lord, our Lord. This is praise. This statement is the basis for praise. This statement is the basis for praise. You know how it becomes the basis for praise? Because it begins with, oh. Oh, Lord. is not just Lord. It's, oh, it's a guttural sound. It's this sound, oh, Lord. Oh, Yahweh. Oh, eternal God. Oh, sovereign God. Oh, self-existent God. The oh, Lord, is the basis. It's the adoration button. It's the door. Oh, you can say Lord. Yeah, you can say Lord and just say it. But you cannot say oh, Lord, without it being adoration. Does that make sense? It made so much sense to me this week. That just the feeling, I'm in that presence of God, and then all of a sudden the first thing I can say is, oh! I'm in the very presence of God! I don't know if you had an oh experience in your life. If you haven't, you've never been able to praise. Because without it, you will have no praise. But with it, hang on, new lifers. Oh, Yahweh. Oh. It speaks of God's greatness and his holiness and his loving kindness. Yahweh is the most intense and sacred name for God used by his people. And in the scriptures and in the Bible days, they wouldn't even say the whole name for fear they would dishonor this name. But yet God, who inspired every piece of the scripture, inspired their authors of the word to write it 6,800 times in the Bible. 6,800 times the name Yahweh is spoken in the Bible. God wants us to know him as Yahweh. Sovereign Lord. He's not some graven image. He's not some carved statue. He's not some piece of money. He is Yahweh. And when you mix that with, oh, Yahweh, the door of adoration is open. In the scriptures, we see that name for God mixed many times with Yahweh Bor. In the beginning, God, and he was, and he spoke, and it was so. He is the creator. We know other names, the Lord Banner, or the one he goes before and after and gives victory. That's the God who wants you to know him. That's the God who wants you to open up the door and just exclaim, oh, Yahweh. He's not some God you can stick up. He's not some God you can throw in your trunk and get out what you want. He's Yahweh. 6,800 times in the scripture, God wants you to know that he is the self-existent God. That he is a God full of loving kindness. That he is a God who interacts with his creation. And over and over and over in scripture, push the button, please. We see Yahweh Shalom. We see Yahweh Rapha. We see God showing himself to these individuals that all sickness loses when it comes up against Yahweh. I just love that one. I love that one this week. I could just feel it. Everything that's wicked, everything that's evil, everything that has a hindrance to my walking with God, when it comes up against Yahweh, it loses. Oh, Yahweh. And I know I got to get moving. That's verse 1 of 9. But it's the whole basis. if we're going to live this life with God and not regret and not wound people, then we need to live a life of praise. And I, for one, need to know what praise means. I need to know how to arrive at praise. And God says, go to the door called adoration. Open it and let me flood into you. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Yahweh. And then all of a sudden he says, our Adonai. Boom! Praise! Yahweh. Oh, Yahweh. My Adonai. My Master. I'm telling us right now, young people, people, visitors, people never going to come here again. I don't know if you think I'm nuts. I'm good with that. But, oh, Lord, my God will lead you to a life of praise. If you go out of here with nothing else, with those words, oh, Lord, my God. Oh, Lord, my Master. Oh, Yahweh, my Adonai. And watch the praise begin to flow out of you. Oh, Lord, our Lord, oh Yahweh, my Adonai, look what happens. How majestic is your name. There is no proclamation of how majestic God is without an O in front of Lord. We sing the splendor of a king. Clothed in majesty, adoration. Let all the earth rejoice. Mix it with rejoice. Watch the praise come. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles the darkness, and trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. How great is our God. How great is our God. Is our God. And all will see how great. How great. Is our God. Because praise is visible. Adoration is internal. And when it begins to mix with other elements, all of a sudden, how great is our God? Age to age, he stands. And time is in his hands. Oh, Yahweh. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, and Son. The Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Because visible, the praise becomes visible. Above all names, worthy of our praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Above all names, you are worthy of our praise, and my heart will sing, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Adoration is internal. when it binds with what God puts in there too, the thanksgiving, the giving, the praise, the rejoicing, it comes out as praise, which is visible. If we're going to live a life without the regrets, we need to praise His name. And to praise His name, we need to cry, "Oh Lord, my Master." From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. I thought that was pretty cool until I read the next line. Because of your enemies. See, now I think he starts to talk about the power of praise. See, I think that now the psalmist is starting to talk about, I'm not asking you to take a hold of something that's plastic and broken. I'm asking you to take a hold of something that's powerful. And when I ordain praise on the weakest of society, on the children and the infants, when they begin to praise, look what happens. When they begin to praise, because your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. Children and infant are the weakest and the most helpless in society. Defeating the enemy by a word of praise. Praise comes from adoration mixed with another element. That God is Master. He is the self-existent God. Oh, Lord, my Adonai. Push the button, please. Praise causes us to be victorious. How does this work? It works even in the weakest in society. Victory is wrapped up in praise, not in how much you can stiff arm it. Are you getting me? There is power in praise. So let me go through a few more. I promise my notes get really thin now. But I needed to know this week, I needed to know what praise was. And then God tells me what the benefit, just the starting benefit of praising Him. One is you will be victorious when you praise me. And I want you to be victorious. And I can't give you victory through another means. Because why? Because these are the elements in the cupboard. And when you mix them together, this is what happens. Well, I want to mix two hydrogens and one oxygen and not get water. It ain't going to happen. And God says, I want you to mix adoration with the proclamation that Jesus is your Master, that He is your Adonai. And bang, watch what happens. There is power in praise. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? All of the result of, that's the result of, oh, Yahweh, my Adonai. And all of a sudden, look what is happening in his life. He's beginning to see the power in praise. But praises causes us to wonder rather than wander. And I would love to have a subsection to all my notes and just say, we're going to dive into that one. Maybe we will in 2019 sometime. But you got to know the psalmist thinks and believes and knows that he will wander and wander into God's world. And he will not wander away from God's world, but God's world will make him wonder. What is the next step? God, what's the next thing you want to reveal? God, what's the next door you're going to open? What's the next victory you're going to give me? What's the next thing you're going to show me that you're more powerful than in my life? Continuing in the passage. You made him, man, a little lower than a heavenly being and crowned him with glory and honor. God made you in his image and breathed into you greatness. You got to know that. I know this is the first time you're here, so I won't look at you too long, I promise, but you need to know this. God loves you and he breathed into you greatness. Praise causes us to know real purpose. Are you with me? Oh, Yahweh, my Adonai. And all of a sudden, I start seeing victory. All of a sudden, I start wondering about God and the depths of God. And I start seeing my real purpose in life. Flip the button. You made him ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet. He's talking about man, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and on and on and on. And dot, 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 David is saying. You know, I think this is a very practical thing. Praise causes us to care for what is his. And just so you know, you're his. And me praising, and your mom, I don't know if that's your mom, but close enough, right? Your mom praising God, she'll take care of you like you've never been taken care of before. Because all of a sudden we start taking care of what God is his. And he tells us what is his, you're his. And when people praise God around you, all of a sudden, you are taking care of them and they're taking care of you. And we're taking care of his planet. And we're taking care of the things of this world. We're taking care of the things that God has given us. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Just so you know, there's only 9 verses in Psalm 8. See, I try not to use in conclusion because then that kind of perks everybody up when I'm really not in conclusion. I don't want to psych you out. But look what he sandwiches this whole thing right in the middle. Oh, Yahweh, my Adonai. How majestic. Bang, a new element, a new compound is born. It's called praise. New lifers. Praising his name will keep us from living a life of missing opportunities and missing what God wants for us and breathing his breath into this world. But praising his name will enable us to be victorious, enable us to know the depths of God, enable us to take care of what is his, enable us to know his real purpose for our life. Stand with me today. God, I know that, wow. I know what you've done in my life just in this past week, just as I have spent hours pondering this thought of praise and this door of adoration and this door of proclamation, and when they run together, it produces praise. Oh, Yahweh, my Adonai.
Reach.
proclamation. And Father, that is a proclamation because we open the door of adoration. Oh, Yahweh. And that mixes with the next door of my Adonai. And when they mix, it produces this uncontrollable praise in my life. This praise that'll give me victory. This praise that'll make me wonder. This praise that'll make me have purpose. This praise that'll enable me to take care of what is yours. Father, thank you for that truth today. Thank you for that truth in my life. I have determined I'm going to live a life of praise, and I know that I need to open up the door of adoration way more in my life. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.